Jay Bruce is on the move. Blake Parker might just be the closer after all. Starling Marte has been struggling since coming back from suspension. We're going to cover it all on Fantasy Baseball Today. Isn't that right, Scott? We are going to cover it all.
Everything that happened in the world, period. Not even the world of baseball, just the world. Everything that happened, we're going to cover.
What's your next step with North Korea, Scott? Let's start with that. Okay, let's not start with that. This is a news-free zone, just baseball news. And we welcome you to Fantasy Baseball Today. Your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We do have a lot of them that I'd like to read today. We will talk about my unbelievably awesome bold prediction from yesterday that kind of came true. But let's start with the big news. With Cleveland acquiring Jay Bruce from the Mets for a guy with a great name, Ryder Ryan, a 30th round pick. This is a salary dump as they're gonna take over Jay Bruce's remaining salary. This is a top 20 outfielder and the number 13 first baseman in points league, number 11 in Roto. Bruce has been cold. He's been 0-16. He's got a minor neck issue. Only 4 hits in his last 8 games. 3 of those 4 hits were at Coors Field. But value up, down, or the same for Jay Bruce?
Basically the same. I think it is a better lineup. I think a slightly better park too, but I mean, the thing I like most about it as far as Bruce goes is what it means for the AL only owners, because they were kind of left out at the trade deadline. All the AL only owners that had been saving their fab dollars all year for a player to change leagues, everybody went to the NL instead. So this is your, I wouldn't anticipate a bigger name than this switching from the NL to the AL before the end of August. So I would invest those dollars in Bruce.
Jay Bruce has been much better on the road this year. 238 with 11 home runs at home, 275 with 18 home runs on the road. So hopefully getting out of Citi Field will help. And remember, last year, maybe this is a coincidence, Bruce in his career has been a pretty streaky player. But he got traded to the Mets last year, and he played 50 games for the Mets, and he was awful. 685 OPS with the Mets last year. But having a nice year, and I guess, you know, you're not going to be upset about this if you're a Bruce owner, unless you own him in NL only. But here it is. That's kind of a big, that's kind of a big August trade. We don't get Jay Bruce's
often. We don't. We don't usually get that. That's why I'm saying, look, there's a possibility Lance Lynn, he's a free agent after the season. There's a possibility an AL team could acquire him. So if you need pitching more, you could hold out for that. I just think I'd rather pick up Bruce and then trade whatever hitter I'm bumping out of my lineup for Bruce for a pitcher. I'd rather do that if I needed a pitching need, because it doesn't seem like these trades happen very often. Now, I do think there is an impact on the Brewers, on the Indians lineup aside from Bruce. Obviously, Michael Brantley just went on the DL, so you know, there's a spot for Bruce to fill there right now, but eventually Brantley's going to be healthy. I wonder what it means for Lonnie Chisenhall, who had become kind of a daily league darling with how good he was against right-handed pitchers, but he's been dealing with a calf strain. He's already missed a month, still isn't ready to begin a rehab assignment. Either it's a bleak outlook for his health or for his playing time, one or the other. So I don't think there's any reason to hold on to him anymore, except in deep AL only leagues.
Okay, so that's the Indians angle. I picked up Dominic Smith in a Roto league. Is it time for a little Dom Smith?
I thought it already was.
Right? Like, come on now.
I can't imagine what excuse they could have not to call him up now. There's one more bat that they don't have to have in the lineup, and Bruce, that's one more opening in their lineup. And Bruce had been getting the majority of starts at first base since Lucas Duda was traded to the Rays. So I would expect at some point this weekend, Dominic Smith, maybe he and Rhys Hoskins the same day. And I'd rather have Hoskins of the two, but they're both very disciplined hitters. Dominic Smith probably a safer bet for average. Hoskins has bigger power. I'm not sure if Smith will have enough power to compete at first base in this kind of environment, but he has 16 home runs at AAA Las Vegas, and there's enough of a chance there that if I'm not rushing to pick up Smith, I'm at least keeping a very close eye on him.
Okay, yeah, we haven't really talked about those prospects in a little while, but Dominic Smith, Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins is spelled R-H-Y-S. He's with the Phillies, Dominic Smith in the Mets organization. These are guys that I mean, I'm not picking them up outside of my, I guess I pick them up in my 12-team Roto League. We start a lot of players in that league. We have a middle infielder, five outfielders. We have a corner infield and a DH. So
I would be trying to pick up Rhys Hoskins everywhere.
Everywhere?
I may fail in some of those leagues with a standard head-to-head lineup where you can only start at most two first basemen, one at utility spot, of course. And so I may not be able to justify it, but I would at least try because I feel very good about Hoskins' chances of making an immediate impact.
So we didn't talk about your rankings overhaul from the other day. We'll try to get into that. But you have Posey as your number one catcher, Sanchez number two. Those guys look so valuable right now because Wilson Contreras, it looks like he's about to go on the DL. He hurt his hamstring. He's going to have an MRI. And Evan Gattis is still experiencing concussion symptoms. Salvador Perez is on the DL right now. I mean, the catcher was already bad. Now it's terrible. And those two guys really stand out at the top, Posey and Sanchez. With the Cubs situation, I mean, Alex Avila is not a bad pickup, but he really has, he was so good for a while, and he's really come back down to earth. Since my birthday, Scott, that's 35 games for Alex Avila. Yep, since my birthday. 178 batting average with two home runs. And then
well,
I also.
He's not even a starter anymore. Well, okay, I guess you're saying he's about to be.
Yeah. So, you know, he's 43% owned. You could do worse, I suppose, just because it's catcher. But what do you think? You think any chance Schwarber starts catching?
I'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no, but look, this is the, if he's going to gain eligibility at that position in standard CBS sports leagues, this is the sort of thing I think he needed for that to happen. And that may be all that matters for his fantasy value, if he's eligible at the position or not. So yeah. It may be good news along those lines, but I don't even know. I mean, because he hasn't been hitting either. I don't even know if he is catcher eligible, that I wouldn't prefer, like, Martin Maldonado, who just plays every day and isn't horrible with the bat. So he kind of ends up being halfway decent in fantasy because of that. You know one catcher who we haven't been mentioning among the really high-end types at the position who is having a great year, a bounce-back year?
Yadi?
Really. Yadier Molina.
Yeah. Well,
up to 14 home runs.
And now he's got the rally cat.
Ties the second most of his career.
Yeah, he's got the rally cat now. You saw the cat yesterday?
I didn't.
Okay, so they get this. So Yadi's up with the bases loaded, and a cat is loose in the outfield. We've seen rally monkeys. We've seen rally squirrels. This is our first rally cat. So this guy, grounds crew member, I don't know, whoever, he picks up the cat all the way at the outfield wall, and he has to bring the cat across the field to the other side of the outfield, basically, like from right field to the left field line, where you would see, like, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, you can get the picture. The cat is biting him and scratching him as he's bringing. You can't just pick up a random cat and expect it to be totally fine.
No, you can't. I hope he gets a rabies shot, jeez.
Yeah, and anyway, he ends up leaving. He actually does a very nice hurdle of the outfield, the low outfield wall along the third base left field line. And next pitch, Yadier Molina grand slam home run. So you now live in the rally cat era. And yeah, Yadier Molina is having a really good year.
What a time to be alive.
Cats are my favorite of all the, I mean, I prefer them to monkeys, squirrels, whatever else we've rallied around. So I'm into it. Go Cardinals. Schwarber, by the way, has three catcher appearances. Still needs two more. It's been stuck on three for a long time. Yeah, Molina, I mean, are you buying this? Cause he's older. He's been just like a guy who's finished high in fantasy just because he plays all the time. But this year, he legitimately is having a very good season.
Yeah. So I don't even know what the point is of buying it or not. Like you said, he always finishes very high, even when he doesn't hit very well. We've seen him hit like this in the past. Every other decent catcher is hurt. So, I mean, Molina's probably the third best healthy catcher, whether... Even if he doesn't hit another home run this year, he probably is.
Well, he's always been, you know, he's been better in points leagues, but in categories, he hasn't really.
I guess Real Muto gives him a run for the money.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
Oh, what a bad position this year. Ugh. All right, so Contreras hurt. Clint Frazier scratched with oblique soreness. Aaron Hicks should be back on Friday. Daniel Murphy could be back today. The Dodgers are the sixth team since 1913 to reach 90 wins in their first 113 games. And we'll talk about their starting pitcher from yesterday, Alex Wood. And very excited for August 25th through the 27th, 2 weekends from now. That will be Nickname Weekend. And did you see Kyle Seager's nickname?
I did. Yeah, that was probably the best one.
Definitely the best one. He is going to have Corey's brother on the back of his jersey, which is awesome.
I like it, a little self-deprecation.
But yeah, this should be fun, actually. I'm looking forward to Nickname Weekend. I made my bold prediction yesterday when we were doing today's matchups. I predicted Justin Verlander would throw 8 innings of one-run ball with 11 strikeouts. Pretty sure that was my prediction. I will claim a partial victory. It was 8 innings of one-hit ball, no runs, only 6 strikeouts to 3 walks. But hey, Justin Verlander was throwing 97 miles per hour in the 8th inning, and opponents are hitting 179 against him since the All-Star break, during which time Verlander has a 2.01 ERA. Oh my goodness, Justin Verlander is back, buy or sell.
I'm more or less by this. He had 3 walks in this game. I think he had another 3-walk game 2 turns ago. So the walks are still a little high by his normal standard when he's at his best. But clearly the results have been much better. The strikeouts have been better. I have him at 10/9 in his last 5 starts. So he's back to being must start for sure, and probably a top 20 option the rest of the way.
Would you rather have Verlander or Dallas Keuchel? That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly rather be starting Verlander now. I think if somebody if the Keuchel owner offered me Keuchel straight up for Verlander, I'd have to turn it down.
Would you take Verlander and Zach Godley or Luis Severino?
I'd take Verlander and Godley.
Would you take,
even though Severino's the best of the three, I think it's not by a big enough margin over either of those other two for me to pass up the two.
Finally, how about Justin Verlander or Jimmy Nelson?
I have Jimmy Nelson, I think, 1 spot ahead of Verlander, and I will stick with that.
Okie dokie. Your stat of the day, it's about Joey Gallo, G-A-L-L-O, among players with enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title. Joey Gallo is on pace to become the 4th player in history to finish a season with more home runs than singles. He would join Barry Bonds in 2001 when he hit 73 homers and 49 singles. And basically he would join the steroids group of Barry Bonds in 2001 and Mark McGwire in 1998 and 1999. Joey Gallo has 32 home runs and 20 singles so far this year. But he homered again yesterday. We talked about him at length yesterday, and he homered. Anything
to add? What
are
you implying?
That he's not on steroids.
Are we just free to say that about Bonds and McGwire now? You so casually did that. I don't know.
Oh, well, I mean, if you want to... The truth is, Barry Bonds admitted to taking steroids. He just claimed he didn't know it was steroids. And everybody knows Mark McGwire was on steroids. So yes, I am willing to say that.
Fair enough. I just, just want to cover our bases here. All right. So Gallo... It's a lot of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's in dispute. And while he's hot, I'm happy to start him. He's just going to be such a frustrating player. Already has been a very frustrating player this year, and I think we're going to see very bad version of Joey Gallo again before the season's done.
Coming up on the show, bullpen stuff to update you on. Cody Allen, trying to figure out the Rangers bullpen. Angels bullpen. I've got some hey real quick for you. We'll compare Ryan Zimmerman and Edwin Encarnacion and some others. I've got a segment called Should I Stay or Should I Go, which is just another way of doing the drop-o-meter, basically. A couple of underachieving second basemen and much more, but give me a Wednesday standout, Scott White.
Wednesday standout, I will give you, I'll give you Melky Cabrera. I think he's becoming more than just like a streamer type off the waiver wire. I feel like his skill set is highly dependent on his supporting cast because he doesn't have enough home run power, doesn't have enough base stealing ability to sustain himself. And leaving the White Sox for the Royals, particularly where the Royals are batting him, which going to double check. I think it's consistently been either second or third. So they've made Melky Cabrera basically a table setter for the Hosmer, Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain trio. Pretty good trio.
Yeah.
And he's having a good week. He was in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this week. He's about 75% owned. And you know what he lacks in the home runs and the steals? He makes a lot of contact. He hits a lot of doubles. I think in points leagues with this new his position in his new lineup, he probably needs to be a fixture in three outfielder points leagues. And then any five outfielder category league probably as well. The three outfielder category leagues, maybe you really need a home run hitter base stealer. But even in those, I think he's going to be a good source of batting average and probably a decent source of runs in RBI as well. Mm.
Wow, interesting. Cabrera, Melky Cabrera, 75% owned. He's batting, since the All-Star break, .344 with just a .366 on base. But a lot of times when a guy is in a hot streak and he's hitting a lot, he's not walking that much.
So he's now out for the season. He has outscored Corey Dickerson, Andrew Benintendi, Michael Conforto, Domingo Santana. A lot of hitters we've been genuinely excited about and who've played, you know, haven't had a lot of lost a lot of games in there to affect their point total.
Can you look if he's outscored them in Roto? Because points would be the better format for Melky.
Yeah. Well, you know what I say about Roto rankings anyway.
Yeah, but this guy is really... I mean, you basically laid it out. In a categories league, he's not going to help you like he is in a points league. I don't know, it's an interesting take. And you know what? Another thing, this year has been a year where outfielders have been really good. And there's always seems to be someone on the waiver wire that you want to pick up and you just can't. Right now, I've just been looking in a couple of leagues. Right now, the free agent outfielders, maybe it's just like a lot of cold outfielders. I don't know. Or maybe we've figured out who the good ones are and they're now owned. I'm just not really feeling it right now. I can't think of like an under-owned outfielder. You know, there's Tommy Pham is not available anymore. Bradley Zimmer has cooled off and he sits against lefties. I'm sorry, I can't do this off the top of my head necessarily, but Aaron Altair, you know,
hurt. Yeah,
right. So, maybe Odubel Herrera is that guy. Is he hit? He's Odubel Herrera now. He hit two triples yesterday.
Yeah.
But there's not that many outfielders I like. So sure, Melky Cabrera, the consistency you get from him right now, it seems pretty valuable. Yeah.
Melky Cabrera is 36th among outfielders in Roto leagues for the entire season, and I think with the Royals, he will outperform that.
Okay. Melky Cabrera is your standout. How about Alex Wood? You feel comfortable? 13 swinging strikes, only 4 strikeouts, but 13 swinging strikes, 6 innings, 2 runs at Arizona. And I don't think he did not get the win. I believe he just got a no decision. But yeah, it was a good start. Velocity was pretty good.
Says. He says it was back. The Dodgers beat writer for MLB.com said the velocity was back, and this is after a report from the OC Register yesterday that it looked like it was back in a bullpen session as well. I haven't been able to find the data for this start to confirm what everybody's saying, but
yeah,
I think we can take their word for it. But this was his best start in the last 4.
I saw a 93 mile per hour fastball. I watched like 5 pitches. So
eyewitness account.
Yeah. Now
that one pitch is representative of the entire start.
The AP recap even referenced the mechanical adjustment that he made to get the velocity back. So at this point, I think we're pretty comfortable with Alex Wood and the adjustment he made. Andrew Benintendi, you just talked about him having scored fewer fantasy points than Melky Cabrera. And I would say he's had a disappointing year, but he took 2 days off early this month. And in his last 6 games, Benintendi is 11 for 22 with a home run. Great, whatever. 5 steals in 5 attempts in his last 6 games. Now, this is a guy who stole 4 bases in 4 games back in May, and then he stole 1 in his next 26 games. So stolen bases can be a little fickle, a little unpredictable. But 5 steals and 5 attempts in his last 6 games and a .500 batting average. Andrew Benintendi is on fire!
If we could trust him to run consistently, then it wouldn't even really matter
right,
if he could develop more power or not. He would basically be Melky Cabrera with steals. He's up to 14 steals for the year, so it's not an irrelevant number as it is, but it's not enough. it's not enough for me to buy into what's been going on lately and or really to affect my rest of season outlook for Benintendi.
All right, so who would you rather have, Benintendi or Melky?
I'd rather have Benintendi.
Yeah.
But it's close.
Well, another guy who's just sort of stealing his way. Well, he's not really stealing his way to being relevant because he's been bad. Even with all the steals, Starling Marte, since being reinstated, is batting .244 with no home runs, 5 RBIs. He does have 14 runs, it's 21 games he scored 14 runs. It's a very good pace, but in that 21 game stretch, a lot of outfielders have actually scored a lot more runs than Marte. But he has 6 steals and 6 attempts. Bottom line, he's just not hitting right now, but you're getting the runs, you're getting the steals. Marte, since coming back from suspension, is the number 37 outfielder in points leagues, number 52 in Roto. Why so much better in points leagues? Probably because he leads off and he gets plate appearances. But, what do you think? Are you concerned about Starling Marte, or do you think he'll just go back to being Starling Marte?
I think, if I remember, the drug he was suspended for was something called Magic Potion. He was taking a Magic Potion that made him superior to what he is now. That he's off of it, he is a wuss, a wimp, a weakling.
We saw this with D. Gordon, though. He's rebounded this year, but D. Gordon was pretty bad when he came back from the suspension.
And look at D. Gordon now.
Yeah, I know. He is.
I don't know. I've seen very little evidence from any of the players who've been suspended for one PED or another that it makes a difference as to what kind of player they are. So I think it's just a slump for Marte. He still has – he's actually raised his batting average since coming back because he wasn't doing much of anything before the suspension either. Mm-hmm. And 6 stolen bases since his return. He'll get better.
All right, let's do this. Starling Marte or Ryan Braun?
I would prefer Braun. Well, you know what? Maybe not Braun in categories.
Do you want a tough email here real quick from James from Little Rock, Arkansas?
That was a tough question you just asked.
Yeah,
so
this one's tough too.
Okay.
12-team categories league. I've been offered Tommy Pham for my Ryan Braun. What would you guys do? Would you give up Braun to get Tommy Pham?
I know my rankings don't reflect this. I think I would.
You'd rather have Pham? Look, there's obviously concern about Ryan Braun. They're right there in it. They're right there in it. But if they fall out of the race, he's one of the most likely players, I would say, along with Yoenis Cespedes, to get shut down. Braun. And he's going to sit more often than you'd like from an everyday player. I looked at his game log today. I don't think he's stealing bases lately. He's been okay. Yeah, he's still a great player. That's a tough one. So you would take Pham over Braun. All right. All right.
I think so. I think Pham's really good. I think Braun's really good too, but Pham seems lower risk to me right now, and I think I'd be more likely kicking myself for passing up that trade than the other way around.
Braun is actually batting .406 in August. And
yeah, he's had a good week.
But it's a lot of singles, not hitting for a lot of power. He hasn't homered since July 22nd. Braun has two home runs since the All-Star break. All right, so moving on. Oh, wait, bonus question. So I mentioned Starling Marte. Since coming back, 21 games for him. He's the number 37 outfielder in points, number 52 in Roto. In that same stretch, which is just after the All-Star break, who's the number one outfielder in Roto leagues?
Number one outfielder since just a little after the All-Star break?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Blackman?
No. In points leagues, I think it's Stanton. In Roto leagues, it is W. Hit Merrifield. Isn't that crazy?
Of course it is.
Would you rather have Merrifield or Pham?
Pham.
All right. And are you interested at all in Trevor Bauer, who has had 3 really good starts in a row, 22 innings, 3 earned runs, 22 strikeouts against the Angels, Yankees, and Rockies, all at home?
I don't. I'm not. Because I don't really understand what's different for him. He is throwing his curveball a lot, but that started like at the end of May and wasn't really making a big difference until now. I think he should throw the curveball more. He and Corey Kluber both started doing it the same time at the suggestion of their pitching coach, and look what it's meant for Kluber. But since we didn't really see strong evidence of a turnaround for Bauer until now, I don't know that I can there's a correlation between the two, and I don't trust what he's doing right now.
Bauer's owned in 74% of leagues. He's two starts next week at Boston and at Kansas City, which is interesting. And good chance for wins. He's facing Doug Fister and Jason Vargas.
Okay.
I don't know that he will
face those two.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right, I don't know. It's hard to drop Trevor Bauer going into a two-start week. He's been very good lately. Scott, let's take a look at the bullpens. Blake Parker. So thank you to our listener, Isaac. Isaac is a big baseball fan. And he's the emailer that I often reference. Not sure if he loves us or hates us. I think he loves us. But he said that Parker pitched in a 4-run game in the ninth, and Middleton, who got the save 2 days ago, pitched the eighth. But Isaac told me that Parker was warming up when it was a 3-run game. Angels get a tack-on run in the eighth inning, and he still came in and he pitched the ninth. But buy or sell, Blake Parker is the Angels' closer.
I buy it, and I think it's an exciting development. He's been their best reliever. And I think it's kind of like, you know, among the pitchers who became firmly entrenched as closers at the trade deadline, and there were a lot of them, my two favorites were Brad Hand because of the ability and Shane Green because of the save opportunities I thought he'd get. And I feel like Blake Parker is kind of the best of both worlds. Trevor Rosenthal, who's also a newcomer to the closer role, I'd prioritize him over Parker. And I don't know that I'd try anything drastic until we get a little more clarity from the Angels on this. But I suspect Parker is probably the closer going forward. And I think he's has had a good enough year, big enough swing and miss potential that he could be very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Cody Allen, are you concerned about him? I think the Cody Allen concerns have been a little overblown this year. He's still having a good year, but now maybe it's a little more alarming. He struggled in two of his last three appearances. I guess the good news is there's no way they're going to Andrew Miller. He's still on the DL. But look, Allen's blown three saves. He only has 19 saves. He's just destined to get like 30 saves every year. He's never, ever going to... Right? It's so weird. He never gets a lot of saves.
But, it's really weird. You're right.
Yeah, it's so weird. But this guy has been a great pitcher for a while, and he still has a low 3 ZRA. I don't know. Are you concerned about Cody Allen?
Not concerned, just consistently underwhelmed by him.
Okay.
Like he's pretty annoying, really, in points leagues especially, because he never has like the big week pretty much every closer has at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the huge year, because
yeah.
He just doesn't get like 40 saves. Matt Belisle came in a 4-run game and struck out the side in the ninth at Milwaukee. Buy or sell, Matt Belisle is the Twins' closer.
I buy it.
Sam Dyson with the Giants has a 2.22 ERA and 8 saves. He does have 11 walks, the 19 strikeouts, and 24 and a third. Do you think there's any closer controversy in San Fran when Melanson comes back?
No, I don't. Do we have... What's the latest on when Melanson is coming
back? I think
back?
It's going to be pretty soon.
Yeah, I feel like that's been the case for a couple weeks, though. And
I promise this time.
You promise?
Trust my heart.
Okay. Well, if you promise.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a closer controversy. Melanson may have to prove his health before regaining the role, but they're paying him too much money not to let him close.
Tyler Chatwood got a save for Colorado. You got to figure this was because Greg Holland threw 31 pitches on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out who the Rangers closer is because they keep using Alex Claudio in non-save situations, but they also use him in save situations, which they just haven't had too many of lately. But who's the Rangers closer?
I think it's Claudio.
Yeah.
Jose Leclerc. There could be a bit of a matchup situation going on where the number of lefties coming up in the eighth versus the ninth could influence Jeff Banister's decision. But, I mean, what it's 5-1 Claudio saves versus Leclerc saves since this arrangement began. So I would give the edge to Claudio.
Look at that. That's a good stat. 5-1. Hooray for Alex Claudio. Would you rather have Claudio or Blake Parker?
Parker by significant margin. But the Rangers closer situation, because it's so unsettled, and really because I don't love either of the choices, it's probably my third least favorite right now.
Would you rather have Belial than Claudio?
No, that's my second least favorite.
What's your
and
least
my
favorite?
My least favorite is the Yankee Clippered.
Ah.
Now we're in the White Sox.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, hey, look, today's a special kind of Thursday, Scott. Today is Doppelganger Thursday. Oddly enough, I get a tweet that I look like a baseball player and an email that Heath looks like a baseball player.
Hmm.
And both are pretty legit, and I'm, well, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because the guy, my doppelganger is a lot better looking than I am, but I do see the resemblance. I usually get Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
But today on Doppelganger Thursday, apparently I look like Oakland A Matt Olson. Go ahead and pull up a picture and let me know what you think about that.
Matt Olson, that's S-E-N, right?
Yeah.
No, it's S-O-N, you're wrong.
Oh, damn, sorry. I can't even spell his name and he's my doppelganger. Right? It's decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's...
Yeah,
he's,
I can see that.
He's a better-looking version of Adam Azer. And then this one's funny. Brent
he's
Suter.
He's 6'5", so he's like a foot taller.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Brent Suter, apparently, is a Heath Cummings doppelganger.
Brent Suter. Now, I do feel like I know what Suter looks like, but... A little bit. Not as much.
Not as much?
But a little bit.
I think it's pretty good, actually. Looking at this picture here on the Google. Yeah, I can see it. Just need to get a little chest hair going. All right. Love it. Thank you for the doppelgangers. So let's save Scott's ranking adjustments for tomorrow. Maybe we'll get to it a little bit later. But a couple players that we talked about yesterday kept it going. Brian Goodwin doubled again. He now has 7 doubles in 24 games since the All-Star break. And O-Triple Herrera tripled twice at Atlanta. He's usually O-Double Herrera, but 2 triples yesterday. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can't keep crapping on O-Triple Herrera. Got to look at the hot streak eventually. Hey, real quick, Scott. Jacob deGrom or Madison Bumgarner?
I'll stick with deGrom.
Yeah.
But right. I think they're right next to each other. I think deGrom's 5th, Bumgarner's 6th for me.
Bumgarner.
You know, a lot of it has to do with the Giants. They're just terrible.
Yeah. But 3 starts in a row now of 7 innings and 7 strikeouts with a combined 3 earned runs for Bumgarner at the Dodgers, home against Arizona and home against the Cubs. So it's not like he's beat up on, you know, like his team, the Giants.
Oh, yeah, he got his 2nd win in this game. He's 2-5 now.
He's been great. He's been great. Hey, real
quick.
You
know what I noticed? I finally figured out why we have so many listeners, so many tweeters complaining about Yu Darvish this year. He actually has a sub-500 record. Surely that's going to right itself with the Dodgers, but win-loss record, we usually don't pay a lot of attention to it, but it probably does influence the way his owners feel about him.
Hey, real quick, Ryan Zimmerman or Edwin Encarnacion?
Encarnacion, I guess, but not by much.
Look, Encarnacion... Okay, he right now is the number 11 first baseman in points leagues, but he's number 18 in Roto. His plate discipline has been very good. Encarnacion has 71 walks to 104 strikeouts, but he's really not having a good year. 22 home runs in 109 games is totally fine, but you consider he hit 10 of those 22 home runs, and he batted 370 in a 26-game stretch. He was bad before that. He's got a 740 OPS in 42 games since that. I could really make the case it was 4 weeks where Encarnacion's been good for your fantasy team. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Zimmerman, meanwhile, has heated up again. Another 2-homer game.
Well, he had a big game. He had been cold before that. The number of home runs Ryan Zimmerman hit yesterday equaled the number of hits he had in his previous 8 games. So.
That's true. But right before that, he had 4 homers in 3 games. But you're right. He wasn't a 2-for-27 slump.
Part of the reason why I'm keeping Encarnacion ahead. I do think we've seen Encarnacion's stock drop more definitively this year. There was a big spike in strikeouts last year. That rate has only increased this year. He's 34 years old. I think this is the beginning of the end for Encarnacion. Now, fortunately, he has the kind of skill set that it should be kind of a gradual decline as opposed to just dropping off a cliff 1 year. But he's not, I don't even think he's going to be a top four rounder next year. And that's after consistently being a first or second rounder for like six straight years.
You know who looks kind of smart right now? The Blue Jays. The Blue Jays didn't, Encarnacion signed a pretty reasonable deal and they didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
And Jose Bautista, they re-signed him, but they got him for super cheap on a 1 year deal. Both those guys have, I think, are definitely showing signs.
Yeah.
The end
I
is
mean,
near.
Bautista may already be done, more or less.
I mean, I know that they re-signed him, but it was a no-brainer for 1 year.
I'd still rather have Encarnacion for the money he got than Kendrys Morales for the money he got, but fair enough.
Yeah, okay. And finally, hey, real quick, Eduardo Nunez or Xander Bogaerts?
Well, Bogaerts, but I see where you're going.
I mean, Bogaerts has six home runs this year.
Yeah.
And he's been cold for a long time, and I'm pretty sure he's playing through a minor, I'm not sure how minor injury, but he's playing a little banged up. Nunez has been leading off. I mean, they seem pretty committed to Nunez. I know you have some concerns about the playing time when Pedroia's fully healthy with Devers there, but Nunez appears to be their guy right now.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be crazy to take him out now because he's just been hitting well over 400 since joining the Red Sox. He's been a multi-hit machine. But, I mean, it's not going to last forever. He's going to cool off at some point, and there's not going to be much power there, and they're not a big base-stealing team, so I don't know. He's going to play, I think, enough to remain relevant because he can play anywhere. So even if he doesn't have a job to himself, he'll play. But
you'd rather have Bogaerts.
I'm not moving him ahead of Bogaerts. Okay. I did recently move, I believe, Andrelton Simmons ahead of Bogaerts.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that just in points or in Roto too?
Both.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Time for a segment called Should I Stay or Should I Go? What should fantasy owners do with Ivan Nova?
Get him out of there. Ivan Nova, since April 30th, has a 4.62 ERA, 1.36 WHIP, 5.7 strikeouts per nine innings.
Yeah,
no,
it's a
not
little...
mixed league material.
Okay, the last I just want to check because I bet he's a two-star pitcher next week, which does change things a bit. Let's take a look.
Always. Two-star
he's got
pitcher
at Milwaukee and home against St. Louis.
I mean, even so, I think it's only in points leagues where I do that. He's going to hurt your ERA whip, and he'll do it twice over in a categories league.
Yeah, Nova is 92% owned, and he should go. Eugenio Suarez, he has an 895 OPS since the All-Star break. But if you want to look farther, since May 1st, he has a 763 OPS. Hasn't been very good. Eugenio Suarez, 73% owned. Should I stay or should I go?
You could stay for now. I think he's a good hot-hand play. Even when he was bad, and it was a few months there where he was just really bad. But the walk rate remained high. It looked like there was still some legitimate growth happening. I don't trust him to be consistent enough, particularly at a deep position, but I think he's usable right now.
Eugenio Suarez should stay. And these two guys, I'm going to guess, are stays, but they struggled yesterday. Kevin Gausman and Colin McHugh.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with them both. I don't know what's up with the White Sox right now, beating up on Dallas Keuchel and Colin McHugh 2 days in a row. That's got to be, like, you feel like that's a slam dunk matchup with two good pitchers, and yeah, it's just the worst.
Both those guys have two starts.
Apparently, McHugh's new pitch, the slider, which has been so good for him since coming back from the DL, an 0.83 batting average on it entering the game. Just didn't get a single swing and miss on it, wasn't locating it right. Give him a pass for that. And Gausman, it was bad, but it wasn't a disaster, and he had been so good lately. I'll stick with him, too.
All right, let's play a game here. Okay. We knew the Astros were running away with the American League. The Red Sox, though, have won 8 in a row. The Astros are slumping. How many games up do you think the Astros are in the Red Sox? And I don't know. I will guess 4.5 games.
I will say, I don't really know either. Win-loss record is not something I'm paying a very close attention to. I'll go with 6 games.
Okay, I think this is the dumbest call I've ever made. So the Astros are 71-42. Oh no, it's 6.5 games. All right, I wasn't that far off. Red Sox are 65-49. So I think that's 6.5 games. All right, good job, Scott. You win. Closest without going over. Congratulations.
All right.
Let's talk about a couple of underachieving second basemen. Robinson Cano and Brian Dozier. Cano is still the number 6 second baseman in points leagues, but he has a 793 OPS. He's got 40 walks to 52 strikeouts, which is wonderful, but just really not, like, he's been frustrating to own. And Brian Dozier has a 799 OPS, but he's killing it right now. 308 with 6 home runs in his last 9 games. What do you think about Cano and Dozier? They've been a little disappointing. Cano's 6th in points, Dozier's 7th in points, but Cano's 12th in Roto, and Dozier's 9th in Roto. We were hoping for better from both of these guys. Their OPS is right around just under 800. What do you think about Cano and Dozier?
So who are some of the second basemen ahead of them in Roto that aren't in points?
Give me a moment. Good,
you know what?
Sir.
I think I can pull it up myself. So... Well, D. Gordon, I guess, would probably be one.
Probably Chris Taylor.
Chris Taylor, yeah, Whit Merrifield.
Marwin Gonzalez.
So mostly because of steals, I guess, in Gonzalez's case, batting average. All of them, batting average is higher. I mean, it's nice to see Dozier heat up like this. Because I wasn't sure... I still don't know what to make of Brian Dozier. I don't know what to make of last year. I didn't think he could repeat it. He was on my preseason bust list. I feel like that's more or less played out, but I don't know if he's, you know, if he's Brian Dozier of 2 years ago. He's not really that big of a deal in this environment, but he's starting to look like he may be a little more than that.
Who do you have more confidence in going forward, Cano or Dozier?
Cano, but it wouldn't surprise me if Dozier passed him. And like, I don't think either is somebody you really ever think about sitting at second base.
No.
Has been kind of passed over this year in terms of, you know, the big gainers that we see around the rest of the infield.
So in a Roto league, I mean, I think this is a legit question because of the steals. Would you take Whit Merrifield over either Cano or Dozier?
I wouldn't, no. I would take D. Gordon, but not Merrifield. I don't even know that I'd take D. Gordon, to be honest.
These guys can get so hot, you know, go on a tear and hit a bunch of home runs. Nelson Cruz, 2-for-4 with 2 homers, 3 RBIs, and a strikeout. So he's a double donger. He's the number 10 outfielder in points leagues, number 13 in Roto. Not sure he's going to get his 4th straight year with 40 home runs. He is 26 right now in 109 games. That would be quite a finish. But Cruz has been really good. Zimmerman double donged. And it's time for a little bit more from yesterday. 2 up. All right, Dexter Fowler, 62% owned. Do you want to own Dexter Fowler in anything other than a points league or an OBP league? Do you think he does enough other than just walk?
No, I'd be going after Odubel Herrera first. He's only 65% owned, similar to Fowler. So no.
What about Tim Anderson, 24% owned? In August, Tim Anderson is batting .314. With 2 home runs and 3 doubles and a triple, a 943 OPS for Anderson. Shortstop eligible, obviously. But, of course, no walks and 13 strikeouts in August. What do you think about Tim Anderson at 24% owned?
I think he is bad. But the plate discipline is just horrid, and there's not enough power to overcome it.
That's 2 up, none down today. Injuries, news, and notes. CC Sabathia may be able to make his next start, but don't bank on it. It'll probably be Jordan Montgomery. Jake Odorizzi left after taking a comebacker off his foot. Joey Rickard left after being hit by a pitch on the hand. The Royals benched Alex Gordon. Could be for a while. So Jorge Bonifacio, you figure, would benefit. Carter Capps is not as much of a cheater as he used to be. He slightly modified his delivery. He had to. He drags the foot a little bit more rather than hopping. Meanwhile, Capps' velocity is way down, coming back from Tommy John, and he's just not fantasy relevant. Avi Garcia is going to be playing through some thumb irritation. Matt Harvey could be nearing a return. That should be fun to talk about. Steven Vogt is making progress, and Troy Tulowitzki is on the 60-day DL and cannot return before the final week of the season, so Tulo is basically out for the season. let's see what we got here. I think we'll have time to finish to fit in the emails at the end of the show after we look at today's matchups. But how about the four-man rotation from yesterday? Give me one sentence to tell me how you feel about the following players. One sentence per player. Gio Gonzalez. Could be a compound sentence. It could be a compound complex sentence.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Gio Gonzalez.
Gio Gonzalez is... he continues to prove that... continues to demonstrate that he is a must-start pitcher in fantasy.
Verlander or Gio?
Verlander.
Quintana or Gio?
Quintana.
Okay.
Gio, I think I moved Gio into my top 40.
Okay.
Recently.
Rick Porcello. Rick Porcello is next. He had a bad start against the White Sox two starts ago, but a good start yesterday at Tampa Bay, although he did give up two home runs. But this comes right after July when Porcello had a 3.06 ERA. 5 walks, 27 strikeouts, and 35 and a third, and he's still giving up a lot of home runs. Give me a sentence about Rick Porcello.
It's like I don't normally talk in sentences or something.
Yeah, I know.
Rick Porcello has given up less, has given up fewer hits lately, but there are still enough troubling signs that I will leave him for just favorable matchups. That was a compound complex sentence.
Fair enough. Works for me. Yeah. Kyle Hendricks, you know, bad start yesterday at the Giants. He's had like one quality start, one start of more than five innings since coming off the DL. Give me a sense about a 95% owned Kyle Hendricks.
He's too owned.
Really?
That's my sentence, yep.
How owned do you think Kyle Hendricks should be?
80.
Would you drop
Kyle only Hendricks? Once, he's exceeded five innings once in four starts since returning, and this has been an ongoing problem for him all year. And there's not a lot of strikeouts. It's not like the Cubs are going to help him win many games if he's not pitching. I mean, he's barely even going the minimum. He for a win, much less a quality start. I'm over him. I feel like he hasn't gotten enough attention for how bad he's become, or how maybe not bad, but how irrelevant he's become.
It's Kyle Hendricks. Would you drop Hendricks for Luis Castillo?
Yes.
Trevor Bauer?
No.
Denelson Lamet?
No.
How about this amazing two-start sleeper for next week, Vince Velasquez? I'm guessing he pitches tonight, but Velasquez is at San Diego and at San Francisco next week.
I might, if Hendricks was clearly the low guy for me, and that's what I needed to do to take advantage of those matchups, I might do it.
Hendricks himself has two starts, Cincinnati at home and Toronto at home next week.
Yeah, I like Velasquez's more.
Okay, and how about a sentence about Masahiro Tanaka? I can give you a sentence about Tanaka. Did not have anything yesterday.
That's a sentence fragment. There was no subject.
Masahiro Tanaka did not have anything yesterday, comma, but I think he should be fine because in his previous eight starts, he had a 2.89 ERA.
Compound complex.
Mm-hmm. Agree or disagree with my compound complex sentence?
I agree.
All right. Don't worry about Tanaka. Two starts next week for Tanaka. Mets and at Boston against Chris Sale. Season will be on the line. Fringy starting pitchers. All these guys are two-star pitchers, so I guess we could talk about them tomorrow. I think they're all two-star pitchers. But, you know, should I stay or should I go? Mike Leake.
Should I stay or should... he should go.
Go. Bye.
He'll be back when he has favorable matchups, but he can go.
At Boston and at Pittsburgh next week. Yeah, I don't know. Last 13 starts.
I might keep him in a points league for those two.
I mean, last 13 starts, Mike Leake has a 2-7 record, 4.67 ERA, a terrible whip, 47 strikeouts and 71 and a third. He and Jason Vargas are very similar.
And Ivanova too?
Yeah. Trevor Cahill, stay or go?
Go.
Yep.
Go as far away as you can possibly go and don't look back.
Bye. Cahill.
Scott blew it.
Jared Eichhoff has been pitching better lately, and his two starts next week are also at San Diego and at San Francisco. Ooh, 40% owned Jared Eichhoff.
Yeah, I like the matchups. I like Velasquez with those matchups more, but Eichhoff is probably the higher floor pitcher of the two. And he'll be easy to ditch after your lineup locks for the two-star week, because I don't think there's enough upside to keep him around beyond that.
All right, that's a good guy to go get right now, though, with two really good matchups next week and two starts for Jared Eichhoff. Sean Newcomb had a good start yesterday, but we need to see more consistency with the walks. He only walked one Philly. He's at Colorado and home against Cincinnati, so you're not going to start Newcomb next week. And then there's Brandon Woodruff, who's 20% owned, and I don't think he's a two-star pitcher, but he was not good yesterday. So you were right in saying don't start Woodruff against the Twins.
It wasn't a bad start. Two earned runs on three hits, but he had three walks to two strikeouts. It was just a boring start. Like, I'm not compelled to drop him after this one if I already picked him up.
Do you care about any of these players in deep leagues? Asher Wojciechowski, actually pretty solid numbers this year. 110 whip, more than a strikeout per inning. Asher Wojciechowski. Troy Scribner, Jarrett Parker, who's batting .417 in his last six games. Interesting guy to me, Jose Martinez for the Cardinals, and Bartolo Colon with three straight quality starts. These guys are widely available. Wojciechowski, Scribner, Jarrett Parker, Jose Martinez, Bartolo Colon.
I don't care the least about Woj or Scrib, but the other three, you know, relative to their ownership percentage, they're all at 5%. They're 2, 3, and 6% owned, so we're talking deep leagues here. I think Parker and Martinez and Colon, all three. I mean, Colon, just from the fact that, you know, he was mixed league relevant as recently as last year, and it's on a nice three start stretch for the Twins. So when he's going well, he'll give you some innings, probably some wins. Parker, I think, has good power, and Martinez is pretty good power too, and they're both playing a lot. So I think they're in, like, league-specific formats, NL only, I guess, for both of them.
Jarrett Parker
they're
and worth Jose Martinez.
Owning in more leagues than they're owned in.
Quick look at today's matchups. This one's worth watching. 12:35 p.m. Eastern, Denelson Lamet, Luis Castillo.
Yeah, that should be a fun pitching matchup. A couple young flamethrowers. I'll start Castillo. I'd have to be pretty desperate to start Lamet, even though he was good Lamet last time. Last couple times.
Gerrit Cole and Drew Verhagen.
Yep.
Yes, just start
yes
Cole.
Yes to Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Straley and Tanner Roark.
I'll start Straley, but not Roark.
Ooh, I'm not sure I'm starting Straley. I hate the matchup, you know?
Yep. I understand, but I have enough faith in Straley to start him.
All right. He's also on the road. But all right. He's starting Straley, folks. Mets at Phillies. DeGrom, yes. Starter sit Velasquez.
Probably not.
Sonny Gray and Marco Estrada.
I will start Gray. Not ready to trust Estrada yet, even though there have been good signs lately.
Start Danny Salazar. What about Blake Snell against the Indians?
Notice now.
Jason Hamill at Lance Lynn.
Only Lynn for me. Hamill's been okay lately, but not quite good enough for me to justify the risk.
Could be a lot of walks, could be a lot of strikeouts in this one. Brad Peacock, Carlos Rodon.
And I think I'm going to start them both.
Okay.
Even though Rodon against the Astros is a little scary, he's been hit or miss, of course. Just so many strikeouts lately. I have to take advantage.
I don't know who Dietrich Enns is, but he will start tonight for the Twins
at Zach Davies. He was one of your team's farmhands.
Oh yeah,
just a couple weeks ago.
For Jaime Garcia.
Who they got for Jaime Garcia?
All right. Well, he's starting tonight.
Dietrich Enns had so these numbers are interesting. At AAA this year, 2.10 ERA, .99 WHIP, 8.9 strikeouts per nine innings. And last year, he had a 173 ERA, 117 WHIP, 8.3 strikeouts per nine innings. Never gets a lot of mention among prospects. I don't think the rough stuff is particularly impressive for Enns, but he has figured out how to make the most of it in the minors. So I'm interested in seeing how this goes. Definitely not starting him, though.
What about Zach Davies?
I really don't trust what he's been doing. He's 13-5 on the year. So, man, I'm going to sit him.
You, Darvish, Anthony Banda. We'll start Darvish. Start or sit Banda against the Dodgers.
Sit.
Wade Miley and Chris Smith. O's and A's.
Sit them both.
Tyler Skaggs. Both. I'm going to Tyler Skaggs. And James Paxton.
You're not really going
no,
to
I'm not
Tyler,
Tyler Skaggs.
Skaggs. You're not really going to do that.
No, I am not. All right, let's read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Brian. Brian says, Leonis Martin always makes me think of Nando. Can you say his name in a Nando voice, please? Leonis Martin.
Leonis Martin.
There you go. Tony in a suburb west of Chicago. In my 8-team league, I have Story and Kinsler. Tim Beckham is available. Do I shoot for someone like Beckham or Cesar Hernandez to upgrade my middle infield or stand pat with Story and Kinsler?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that either of those is an upgrade. Like maybe if Whit Merrifield was still available, and this is an 8-team league, so it doesn't seem far fetched. If Whit Merrifield was still available, or like I don't know, Marwin Gonzalez.
Well, I'm just going to assume they are.
This is not a clear enough upgrade for me to pass up on the upside.
Okay, from David, I have Lance McCullers and Price on the DL. Julio Teheran has been horrible. Would you drop Julio Teheran for any of the following? Cahill, Eichhoff, Pivetta, or Nolasco? Yeah, you know what? I think I would drop Teheran for Eichhoff just for next week, for those two starts.
Yeah, just for next week. I don't think you're going to miss Teheran, so even though Eichhoff isn't a permanent solution, I'd be willing to do that. Yeah,
Danny,
matchups.
Danny from Danvers, Massachusetts says, Dear Patrick, Squidward, Sandy, and Plankton.
I assume those are SpongeBob
those
characters.
Those are definitely SpongeBob.
Never seen SpongeBob.
What? Really?
Never.
It's a really clever show. It's very funny.
Oh, really?
You would like it. Yeah, really good.
Like Rocco's Modern Life. That was a pretty clever show.
I don't know. I don't think I ever saw that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Weird, right?
Okay. Very weird.
Rank these three.
That's more age appropriate.
I know. Rank these three starting pitchers rest of season. Quintana, Jimmy Nelson, Zach Godley.
I will rank them Nelson, Godley, Quintana, which may come as a shock to some people.
Maybe.
But not anybody who's been listening to this show, because Godley is Godley. In fact, he may just be God.
And Nelson is full Nelson. But you like Nelson better than Godley, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Strikeouts are a little higher, but they're both among the biggest breakouts at starting pitcher this year.
Brian in Albany, 12-team categories league, daily lineups, OPS instead of batting average. I was thinking of adding either Keon Broxton, Tim Beckham, or Cameron Maben to replace an injured Aaron Altair. How would you rate those three, Broxton, Beckham, and Maben?
Maben, and then I really don't even care about the other two.
Ryan in St. Louis. Back in the spring, someone emailed and told you guys to join a league. It would be the best league you've ever played in, and I remember Scott took him up on it. Can we get an update on that league?
I got off to a really good start. I was in first place by a pretty big margin for the first 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, this is the league where, like, every category you win, it counts as a win. And there are so many categories, so it, you know, it was a relevant sample after even 3 weeks of wins and losses. But I'm, like, right and smack dab in the middle now.
Is it the best league you've ever played?
No. It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's, you know, to be honest, it doesn't feel that different from a traditional 5x5 league.
What is it again? What was the gimmick?
It's like 11x11 or something. I don't even know. I don't even know how many categories are there.
Yeah.
Which I don't love in theory because it weighs stats equally that are nowhere close to equal in real life. So, you know, I kind of avoided the home run hitters during the draft, but it's a daily lineup league, and I don't even that aspect of it is, you know, not super familiar to me. So I think that's kind of where I went wrong. I just needed more hitters to mix in during off days and to play matchups with. And, you know, they got gobbled up so quickly, the breakout hitters, that I just haven't had enough hitters. So that's why I'm in the middle of the pack, winning pitching categories a lot. but not so much the hitter categories.
All right, Scott, that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow to preview our next fantasy week. I don't even know, at 19, I think, week 19. And is it 19, Scott?
I think it's 20.
20? Ooh, wow.
I think so we're at 20. Big
that's 2-0. The last regular season week in the podcast league, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. We do two-week playoffs. Yeah.
Two-week playoffs.
Two-week rounds. For, yeah, every playoff.
You would have to.
Okay, it's crunch time. We'll help everybody out tomorrow. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Adam. He's Scott. See ya.